Now we're switching to another article called According to What is Explained Regarding Love Thy Friend. According to what is explained regarding love thy friend. According to what is explained regarding love thy friend, in this rule there are the details of the 612 mitzvot. As our sages said, the rest means go study. Meaning, by keeping these 612 mitzvot, we will naturally attain the rule, love thy friend, and then the love of God. Therefore, what does love of friend give us? Love of friends gives us. As it is written that by several friends coming together, since each has only a small force of love of man, meaning he can keep love of man only in potential, when it comes to that act de facto, then he remembers that he had decided to relinquish self-love in favor of the love of man. But he sees that he cannot really relinquish any will to receive, any pleasure for the will to receive for another, even just a little bit. So the question is probably different. Why are we shown from above that what we should do, what we should do and what we cannot do? Why do they always show us this gap? There's a problem. They give me some energy and I stand before this problem. I try and, you know, make an effort and I overcome this problem. Like a soldier, like a hero. No, they always tell us, I'm standing in a certain place, I have to reach some higher degree than my current state, my present state. And they show me that I'm unable to do that. You have to make an effort, but know that, well, you won't reach that state. Well, maybe you will reach it by means that you will not be able to perform. We are always before a state that we cannot actually realize. Again, from the beginning. The article is, in following the explanation of love thy friend as thyself. According to what is explained regarding love thy friend as thyself, all the details of the 612 mitzvot are contained in this rule. It is, as our sages say, the rest means go study. This means that by keeping the 612 mitzvot, we will naturally acquire the rule of love thy friend, and then the love of God. Hence, what does love of friend give us? What does love of friends give us? It is written that by gathering a few friends together, since they each have but a small force of love of man, they can only keep love of man in potential. When they implement it, they remember that they have decided to relinquish self-love in favor of love of man. In fact, he sees that he cannot relinquish any pleasure of the will to receive for another, not even a bit. So if I come to a degree of love thy friend as thyself, I transcend above my will to receive and incorporate myself in the general will to receive of the world, meaning I already relate to the world in an attitude of giving like the Creator, so I reach resemblance with the Creator according to the similarity of form between me and the Creator. I come to the love of the Creator from love of man, I come naturally to the love of God. So it's very simple, actually. There's a rule here, which is also the conglomerate of the souls. It's the same word in Hebrew for a rule and for a collective. So if I treat the souls with love, in other words, I have made a tzimtzum on myself. I don't want anything for myself. I relate to them, first of all, in the form of bestowing in order to bestow. In other words, I don't want anything for myself. It's called Gatay Naim. And then I'm willing to receive everything, but only in order to give them, like a mother and a child. Yes? This is called working with Yachap. This is love, when I take their desires, their needs, as if they're my children, and I work to fulfill that need through my Achab, meaning I'm already Bina. I have Golgata Naim, it's a sign I want only to bestow, and I have Achab, the Achab which I use entirely to fulfill them, and then I take these lights through my Achab, as I do it here, and fulfill them. This is called love. From delighting in mercy, I have come to love. In that, I'm exactly like the Creator. What does the Creator do? He wants to fulfill the souls. They cannot be fulfilled, but that's what He wants, because it is the conduct of the good to do good. If I have come to that, to first I had a will to receive. My will to receive. I made Tzimtzum Aleph on it, the first restriction, and then I acquired Galgalta and I'm on it, and then I acquired the Achab. If I went over this entire correction, then I have equalized myself with the Creator completely. It's very simple, right? From the love of man to the love of God. So what is he asking? When they implement it, they remember that they have decided to relinquish self-love in favor of love of man. In fact, he sees that he cannot relinquish any pleasure of the will to receive for another. So the formula is very simple, but I cannot actually do it. So what do we do? So we have a means without which we cannot reach our purpose. We don't agree with our purpose. We don't agree with the means. It seems completely unrealistic, far, that's not what I want. But I take it as something that's above me, like nature. We are in the nature of the will to receive. The torments push us to make it in Zoom afterwards. They'll promote us to build the Galgalta Naim and then the Achab, and that's how they'll promote us for anything. So the question is this: how can I do something that's impossible? What other auxiliary do I have here? However, by collecting a few people together with the same idea that they have to reach love of man, and when they annul themselves before one another, then they are intermingled. Thus, they accumulate a great force in each and every individual according to the size of the society. And then they can execute the love of man in actual fact. So what is he saying? If each of them asks if they want to love another, and they want to relinquish themselves, of course not. And these obstructions become more and more evident in us, the actual forms of the will to receive. Yes? No one really wants it, yes? Do you want to love others, I don't feel that that's what I'm missing in life. So first of all, maybe we should just drop it and go home. Or maybe we can do it understanding that this is a process and a rule that nature forces us into. If you want to go through this process instead of in its time, in hastening time, then we don't have a choice if we want to do that. We have to mingle with others. I come to the group, I hate the group, I don't need them. I have no affection for them. I have a different group of people to go to a bar, to go to soccer games or whatever. But he says this, look, buddy, you have a will to receive. And someone else also has a will to receive. But you know that you don't have a choice. You have to acquire the kli for bestowal, the desire to bestow. So how do you do it? There's another guy here with a will to receive. If you all intermingle, so that's me. Rav wrote me. If I mingle with them, I can receive from them the desires to bestow. Then I'll have a will to bestow. Of his writing, will to bestow. From the one and from the other. And from me, because I have made concessions in order to receive from them. So I'll have three times as much will to bestow. With my will to receive, there is only one measure, times one. Then like a missile, I can jump. That's the principle of acquiring strength from others to transcend above my will to receive. That's what mingling with others, itkalelut, that's what it's called in Hebrew, with others gives me. I turn to them, I relinquish my one will to receive, my one unit of will to receive, compared to, yes, there are many people here, let's draw a few more, and then from them I get their desires to bestow. According to how many, to the number of people in the group, and how powerfully they work reciprocally. Relinquishing is only on my own will to receive, but I get strength as much according to the number of people before me, and then thus I can rise. Say my missile is 10 grams, and the force I got from them is 1 kilo. So it's obvious that I can now rise, ascend. The ego can no longer hold me down and not let me transcend above it. So the question is, how do I reach a situation where I restrict my will to receive and start developing my Galta Enayim? The vessels of bestowal, the desire to bestow, the force of bestowal. So I turn to others. I make concessions on myself. Yes, for them. But it's only a superficial thing, an exterior thing, yes? I don't know, I give them tea or something, yes? Nature doesn't forbid me to do that, yes? I might not want it in the heart, but force myself on the outside, doing, I don't know, physical things, exterior things, just like I don't want to go to work, but I do it. And that's enough. It is enough for me to relate to the group this way. It's still called a concession in order to start receiving forces of bestowal from it. And when enough of these forces accumulate in me, then I will ascend. I have to imagine myself. I have to see myself as a mass, as a, I don't know, a weight, that 10 grams. And above me, there should be, I don't know, like a ball here or something. Yes. A hot air balloon. The minute it's got more power than my gravity, then I start rising and see and feel what's above me. It's very simple. The question is only how much of these forces of bestowal do I accumulate? That I receive according to my exterior concessions to others. It's without the desire, without my heart. It doesn't matter. No one says you were born righteous. You're not required to give above what you can. It turns out, in that case, what do the details of the 612 mitzvot add to us, which we said are in order to keep the rule, since the rule exists by love of friends? Moreover, we see that in reality there is love of friends among secular too. They too gather in different circles in order to have love of friends. What then is the difference between religious and secular? The verse says, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. We must understand the prohibition on seat of the scornful. If there is slander or idle words, then the prohibition is not because of the seat of scornful. What then does the seat of scornful add to us? It means that when a few people come together for the purpose of love of friends, with the intention that each and every one will help his friend improve his corporal state, each anticipates that by having more meetings, they will profit from society and improve their corporal state. However, after all the meetings, one calculates and sees how much he has received from society in return for self-love, and what the will to receive has gained by that. In other words, since he invested time and efforts to benefit society, what has he gained by that? He could certainly succeed more if he had been occupied with self-interest. At the very least, the part that he has exerted in, he would exert for himself. Yes, I entered society because I thought I would be able to gain more by society than I could gain by myself, but now I see that I have gained nothing. So one has all kinds of calculations, and one wants something from the group, but years go by and he has no benefit. If he had used these years for some good profession, he would prosper and succeed, but here he has nothing. Well, first of all, that's what happens. It's what we see. Why? Because we can't see a result before we make the force that pulls upwards greater than our own weights. Before we start ascending, the more I can add more and more forces here, but I don't feel a result. I don't see anything. You press the pedal down, but you don't see anything happening. It's just like this balloon. It suddenly happens. Why does it suddenly happen? Because it happens the minute the force that pulls upwards is greater than the force that pulls downwards. Before that, You add to this engine more, but it doesn't move. And that really makes one think very hard thoughts and disappointment. And this in itself adds a place for labor. Every time you see that you get no results, you have to make even greater efforts in order to continue. And when you invest more efforts in order to continue, then you add more to the force that will raise you upwards. He then regrets it and says, I would have been better off using my little strength instead of giving my time to society. However, now that I have given the time to society to gain more properties through help from the society, I finally realized that not only did I not gain anything from society, I even lost what I could have gained alone. When there is someone who wishes to say that love of friends should be engaged in for the purpose of bestowal, meaning everyone working to benefit their fellow person, everyone laughs at it and jokes at it. It seems to them like a kind of a joke. And this is the seed of the scornful. It is but sin is a reproach to any people, and every grace that they do for themselves. That is what is inside us. If we had gone deep into our hearts, that's what we would find. No one wants it. Everyone jokes at it. They don't see any benefit in it, and that's our nature. So we can't have anything else inside. Inside us, that's what happens, and it's not wrong. It's nature. It's nature. You can't treat it as good or bad. It's nature. We only talk about the ability to correct it. If we can't change it, then that's not a topic for discussion. Yes. So we're all like that. Yes, we joke at this concept of working for another. I don't have a preparation for it. I don't have an energy for it. If I had it naturally, I wouldn't be disgusted by it. It's all according to the natural attribute. This is the seed of the scornful. Yes, that's how we are. So he says, all right, every grace that they do for themselves. Such a society detaches one from holiness. So what? If we would actually show what's in our hearts, then we would all run away in a different direction. We just have to be aware of it. Yes, so what? It casts one into the world of mockery. And this is the seed of the scornful. So why is there a prohibition? Because that's what I am. I have to find that that's what I am. I shouldn't be hypocrite with myself. I have to know that that's what I am. I don't care about anything. I don't care. Think of anyone. What do you mean, love of friends? Just let me kick everyone's... beat everyone up. But Kabbalists tell me that this inclination in you is natural, but you should stop it and not make of your assembly a seed of scornful. So I restrict myself. I restrict what I really am in my heart and start working above what I have inside. I shut it, I hide it within me, I just bury it inside. Nothing. Each and everyone has it, but he's forbidden to show it, even for himself. He is forbidden to awaken these things. But he knows that it is so, and that he does it because there is an order by Kabbalists. If you want to advance, then shut it in you. It's called recognition of evil. When you understand everything within you, you feel that that's what you are by nature, and you restrict it and bury it inside and hold it inside. That's the beginning of the restriction. What is the restriction? It's when you restrict yourself although you want it very much. In other words, you find what you want, to trick everyone, to have everything, to throw everyone away, to be the sole ruler of the house. So I restrict that. And I do it consciously. I don't run away from it. I don't pretend to be righteous, to be pure. No. I know exactly who I am, what I am. I restrict that. Meaning, I rise above the seed of the scornful. We mustn't skip anything that's in us. We must determine what they are and know how to relate to all of them. We have to discover nature and learn what to do with it. That's it. So we discovered it and did it. And then when the Shemot appear in me, or the thoughts about the group, then I also add them and bury them in that seed of the scornful that I have restricted. We continue. Questions? How does that sit with no coercion in spirituality? It sounds like I suffocate my true desires. It says there's no coercion in spirituality. What does it say that about? About the will to receive? If that's the case, I must always be inside the will to receive and do exactly what it wants. I should listen to it and be attentive to it and constantly follow exactly what it wants and do exactly as it tells me, if there's no coercion. It says, no coercion in spirituality, there's no coercion. So what does that mean? That by coercion, in a direct effort, you cannot reach spirituality. You cannot force yourself into spirituality. You cannot acquire a higher degree coercively. Only when your heart wants it. And your heart is not in your hands. You cannot force it. But not to work against the will to receive. What do you mean? And not coercively. You have to restrict it. Yes? What does it mean? You restrict yourself although you want it. Yes? Of course there's a coercion with respect to the will to receive. The question is, how can we reach it? That's why they say there's no coercion in spirituality, in acquiring the spiritual nature, the bestowal. Otherwise, how will I ever do anything? Every single act is done above the will to receive. If you acquire a second nature, the second nature that you acquire is not through the will to receive, but against it. You transcend it. What is a labor? Above human force, above the will to receive. You're using the words incorrectly. Yes, no coercion in spirituality. So I just do what I want, you know, glass of beer, cigarette, I don't know, a song, something, I don't know, you know, from strength to strength, right? That's what it's called. Nice. No coercion relates to what? So what? Now I go out and I want a beer or something, but I know it's not connected to spirituality but to the will to receive, so I suffocate it. I want sex, so I restrict that. What? It's a good question. What exactly should we exert in and force our will to receive? Kabbalists tell us that by limiting yourself on the outside, yes, to not hear or to not see, or like the Indians, to not breathe and think about one mantra, first of all, by that you stop your will to receive, you close it, one. Two, it gives you great pride that you can do that. Because when you stop it, you do it with your own forces. You make a calculation that it's worthwhile for you to do it. And then, just like in a diet, it's worthwhile for me to do, otherwise I'll hurt myself. So I work on the greatness of the goal, which is to be healthy and thin. And then I can refrain from eating as much as I would like to. In other words, I began to relate to food differently, yes. I changed one payment for another. Instead of the pleasure in the food, I want to look good. I don't want to be fat. Or something else, or maybe be healthy. So I didn't make any corrections here. I only changed the importance. What's important? Compared to what? And that gives me pride. My will to receive becomes more developed. I didn't correct it. That's why they tell us that the true correction is when you change your direction of thoughts. Not your acts, your physical acts, but the direction of your thoughts. That you will constantly be connected to the purpose of creation. That the Creator and His purpose will take your entire inner scope. That's how it should be before you. And then, even if you do all kinds of physical things, doesn't matter what, before this thought dominates, you will escape to beers and, well, all kinds of things. It happens. But it'll happen, and it'll only be a sign that you have to be in stronger contact with the purpose of creation. It doesn't mean that you have to be more of a hero in an act, but you will have to overcome the obstruction in the thought and be connected to the Creator in the thought. And then you'll see that this entire world awakens you to strengthen your connection with the Creator. You will develop that on top of the obstructions, not the superficial act. That's what's important. Now we drifted away from the topic. Okay, so just follow the text. Yes. He said he restricts himself although he wants to. So if I get a thought that I I hate a friend. What do I do now? There is no commandment, no precept to work on your will to receive and develop it deliberately. It is not developed by that. The alien thoughts and various desires come according to how much you should advance. You are given them to the extent that you can use them to advance, otherwise you won't be given them. I can sit and do nothing and not come to the group, not come to anything. I will not have obstructions. I will not have obstructions. We see that on people who do not participate in the group properly. They don't have obstructions. They feel righteous, pure. They study more. They're very acute, very clever, very sharp. They have energy to do things. And those who work in the group don't have the energy. They have obstructions. So the obstructions come according to how much one works, not according to how much he thinks theoretically about what he should do. So you cannot really make any calculations like that. If I get a thought from above that I hate a friend, and it appalls me, so how can I restrict it? If a thought awakens in me that I hate everyone, so what can I do with it? Can I get it out of my head? No. Can I go above it? What does it mean to go above it? To swap it with another thought. So now I have to prefer to be in another thought, to be in a different intention of life, yes, than what I was a minute ago. So how do I do it? Here I have to develop a system of thoughts and importance for something completely different. If the Creator and the purpose of creation are important to me, I will start thinking of them as something good because they'll become important for me in attaining the purpose of creation. So the question is, what I want? If I want to have something in life, yes, I turn to people. I take them. I care for them, right? My workers, because I need them to attain my goal, right? So I give them good food. I care for my workers, yes. So no one tells you to start from bestowal. You're told only to start from understanding that the group is the means for your egoism that wants to attain spirituality. Right now it's for your egoism. It's in Lolishma. That idea you must now understand. You start from zero. Your life, you feel that they are wasted. You feel that attaining anything in your life, in this world, you will not be able to. Yes. You've already made all those decisions. What you can have is only above this world, called spirituality, to transcend above what you have here. So you're told, listen, buddy, you can only do that if you go above your nature. How can you do that? By the group. So now you find, just in any other dealing in this world, if you want to get something, you need society. You want to exploit them. That's how you come to the group, and you want to exploit the group. Exploit it. If you come to the group to give, then you have no reason to come. You're in bestowal already. You come to the group in order to use it as a means. But using this means is in such a way that you must, through them, work on your desire, on your ego, on your nature. And then what do I do? Well, what do? You'll see in a minute. He'll say it right now. Okay, Sharon. You want some cold water? Here.
No.
Well? Continuing to read from the paragraph our sages say about such societies, disperse the wicked. It is good for them and good for the world. In other words, it is better that they do not exist. However, it is the opposite with the righteous. Assemble the righteous, it is good for them and good for the world. Meaning what? Those who really want to reach the purpose, for them, the group is the kli, the means, the laboratory where they process, where they improve themselves, and according to the improvement they can advance to spirituality, to the Creator. There is no other means. That is why Adam Rishon was divided into so many parts, so many souls, that now each and every one of them has a possibility where if one works with respect to all these souls, then he can reach the level of the Creator. And it's very simple. According to this drawing, if we say that this system of Adam Rishon, which contains all the souls, and here there is the light of Ein Sof that fulfills the entire Malchut Ein Sof, all these souls, then what each of them needs is to be incorporated in this system. And that's only possible through giving. Through giving, you acquire their desires. If I have a will to receive those 10 grams, and I want to fulfill it, then I would say that the light that enters the kli neutralizes it. Yes, there's no pleasure. But let's say that I could make this light fulfill the kli, and I would fill up my 10 grams with pleasure, and that's it. But in order to bring each and every one to a degree where he is like the Creator, and like the Creator means that he will enjoy this kli, take pleasure in it. What does the Creator enjoy? He enjoys giving to this kli. Why? Why is bestowal pleasure? Because bestowal gives, yields unchanging pleasures. Ones that constantly grow. So in order to reach the purpose of creation, it's the same ego that pushes me. These 10 grams in me are not the end of the way, it's only the beginning. Afterwards there are reshimot in me, and reshimot and reshimot, where that I should go with and realize myself. And what does each reshimot tells me? It tells me that I have to add to my 10 grams all the other souls. But how do I add to myself the desires of all the other souls? I want your desire and the pleasure in you. I want his desire and the pleasure that can appear in his desire, etc. I can only do that by being incorporated in your desires. What does it mean, incorporated in your desires? It means when I begin to take your desires as my own. So I don't look at your faces, you don't exist. I look inside at your need, at your desire. Through this corporal body. I want your desire. If I acquire it, I'll be able to enjoy not in 10 grams, but in 20. And if I take his desire, I'll be able to feel life in 30 grams. That's the principle of love thy friend as thyself. Only through giving I acquire the desires of others until this whole kli of Adam Rishon becomes my kli. That's it. And then I receive fulfillment like the Creator. He enjoys giving. And I will enjoy giving everyone in my kli. In that, I will have sameness with him. So the love of man is a means to reach an unlimited kli, endless kli. And the endless light, too. If you ask me, you're talking about the will to receive, not about the will to bestow, yes? We understand everything. Yes, it's the wisdom of reception. It's the wisdom of Kabbalah. The only problem is to acquire these desires. You can only do that through love. And here you must make the concessions. But inside you, you realize your will to receive. That's what you implement. Okay, let's continue. Paragraph, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of righteous? It is those who want to keep the rule of love, thy friend is thyself, whose sole intention is to exit self-love and adopt a different nature for themselves, being the love of man. Though it is a mitzvah that should be kept, and one can force oneself to keep it, love is something that is given to the heart, and the heart disagrees with it by nature. What then can one do in order to make love of man touch the heart? This is why we were given the 612 mitzvot. They have the power to bring a sensation in the heart. However, since it is against nature, that sensation is a small part with the ability to keep love of friends de facto, even though he has a need for it. Hence, now he must seek advice regarding how to actually implement it. The advice for one to be able to intensify his force in the rule of love their friend is love of friends. If everyone is nullified before his friend and mingles with him, then they become one mass where all the little parts want to connect in love of man into the general force that consists of many parts. When he has a great strength, he can execute the love of man. Then he can reach the love of God, but on condition that they annul before one another. However, when he is separated from his friend, he cannot receive the share he should receive from his friend. Thus, everyone should say that he is nothing compared to his friend. So he gives us a tip behind all those confusions. Yes, the truth is that one doesn't understand anything when he's in society, when he works, until one finally ends the work and sees the result. Then he finds all the reasons for the entire process clearly. And only then does he understand what's happening. And during the work itself, he cannot understand anything. That's why it says that you don't show a fool a work half done, because he is called a fool. He can't connect the beginning with the end. That's why they give a tip. You can be in your wisdom and your theories and your philosophies as much as you want. You can do it. It's not recommended, but you can do it. However, despite your own wisdom, you have to do what they advise you to do. And what is that tip? Then he can reach love of God. How? But on condition that they annul before one another. Very simple. What you have in your mind and in your heart, you can be confused with it as much as you want. But if you still want to reach second, third, fourth phase, that's only by annulment before the other. Yes. However, when he is separated from his friend, he cannot receive the share he should receive from his friend. Thus, everyone should say that he is nothing compared to his friend. That's it. Mindless head, yes, simply, naively, without any considerations. Each one is zero compared to the others. What does that mean? It means that whatever anyone, the others say, I accept it, yes, regarding our general progress. What they want, I do. As much as everyone tries to annul himself to others, the more he will succeed. Artificially. We are never required to want. The desire is not in our hands. Our heart is in the hands of God. It says that the heart of angels and ministers is in the hand of God. Those who think of themselves as kings, as ministers, as determining anything, then this is not the case. Their heart, meaning our desire, is constantly changed by the light, and only the light can create desires, change them, and we cannot influence them in any way. That is why what we can do is not naturally to do something in the heart, to want something. We're not even asked what we have in our hearts. All we're asked is, what did you do on the outside without the consent of the heart? Artificially, in a game, superficially, what did you do? This is called working against the desire. So don't be ashamed of it. Yes, look at me. My mind and my heart are not equal. Yes, I speak beautifully, but what do I think inside? I do nice things, but what would I really like to do inside? Yes, it's the difference between the degrees. The degree you're in right now and the degree you want to come to. That's how it is. That's how you are between the 2 degrees. And then, it is like writing numbers. If you write 1 and then 0, it is 10 times more. And when you write 0, 0, it is 100 times more. In other words, his friend is number 1, and the 0 follows it. And the 0 follows it. It is considered that he receives from his friend 10 times more. If he says that he is double 0 compared to his friend, he receives from his friend 100 times more. And Rav says it has nothing to do with how great my friend is. I can be in a group of beginners, complete beginners, on their first day. It doesn't matter. If they have the tiniest thought about spirituality, I will be able to annul myself, bow before this thought, before their desire, their tiny, naive desire. So the question is only how much I can bow before them, how many zeros I can place before me, and then I get it. So no one is testing the greatness of the group. Progress depends on how you lower yourself compared to it. The society can be like the group of Rabbi Shimon, or like, I don't know, the smallest, the worst group. There's no difference. Don't think that there were. I was among Kabbalists, I'm telling you. Don't think that it helps. There's no difference in the group. Yes, what's outside you is the Creator. You have to do this work on yourself. And then these zeros are the reward. That's the force that you acquire. Yes. Can you give the examples of annulment before the group? The degrees of annulment before the group are such. First, I try to find my place in society where I am most beneficial. Just like a mother is annulled before her babe, yes? What is in its favor? She turns herself into a machine. She doesn't think about what's good for her and what's not good for her, what's comfortable, what's not good, comfortable for her. But what is best for the baby every moment, that's how she tries to do with her heart. Not minding if it's comfortable for her or not. Jump 10 times to the kitchen to order something or not. That's one annulment. This is like annulment in action. And then there's the annulment in the desires, in the thoughts, where I have to acquire their appreciation of spirituality on myself and not use my vessels of reception, but the appreciation of spirituality, their appreciation of spirituality. So I replace a donkey with a cow by annulling my desire with before their desire for spirituality, I seemingly swap my will to receive with the will to bestow. The appreciation of society is something very, it's a vast thing, yes, how I see every friend as someone great, how I regard the group as the only thing that exists in this world, that this tool, instrument just landed in here from spirituality, because that's how it is. The Creator is inside this kli and nowhere else. And if I'm a part of that kli, that's where I'll find the Creator. There is no other place. Yes, through the group I go to some planet and that's where I find him. It doesn't exist. But within the group, in my annulment to the before the souls here with me, the desires here with me, in my annulment before them, if I reach the level, the required level of annulment, it is called filling my cup. That's where I find the Creator. Everything we find is inside the kli, not outside the kli. Our problem is it is the inadequate kli. It's too small. So by annulling myself before the group, I acquire a greater kli, and from of a different kind, a kind of bestowal. And that's where I find the Creator, in the collection of the souls, just like we do here. If I annul myself, I acquire desires to receive from everyone except the my own 10 grams, all these grams from others. And when I annul myself to what others is considered that I acquire them as vessels of bestowal, when I take my desires through them, so in that I am like the Creator. Yes, the Creator is clothed in me. Yes, that Ein Sof that I now take through the other kelim goes through me. Yes, it's called the Creator clothing in a person, and in that I resemble Him. That's the Dvikut of the Creator in the creature when He is clothed in me and bestowed to the general kli. So I have nothing to think about and nowhere to look for my place of encounter, meeting with the Creator, and my advancement toward Him, but only through the bonding with the other souls. Love thy friend as thyself is the greatest rule in the Torah, the only rule in the Torah. It contains everything. There are no other tips and counsels except acquiring this. A friend tells me about the greatness of the Creator. I can't control my heart. I can do physical things that I don't feel. By doing things toward the friends, by lessening yourself before them, you do it. You don't think it. In my desire, I'm above everyone. In my appreciation, who can even come close to me? What are they? Who are they? That's how everyone thinks. We talked about the uniqueness that everyone has. It comes from the Creator. The Creator is unique. So we all feel unique too. One, unique and unified completely. So that's because of the breaking. Yes, I will rule, etc. So while feeling that this is how I am and that the entire world is zero under my feet, so if despite that I do things where I annul myself in them with regard to the society, again, no one is asking you to change your heart. You can't touch it. You're asked to do things on the outside. By doing things on the outside toward others, you begin to receive their thoughts, the appreciation of their appreciation of spirituality. You start feeling their desires, and that desire becomes close to you. Yes. What does it mean, outside actions, acts? Toward a friend or toward the group? It doesn't work well with one person, because maybe you have some special attitude to him, special relationship with him. That's not like two people in the group of Kabbalists. You're just friends. You're interested in one another. Not with regard to progress toward the Creator. I don't know. Your neighbors, your friends from childhood. I don't know. You're close to each other. You were talking about a friend in the group here. A friend in this group is a friend because you and him are on the same direction with the same goal. I would never see you on any circle, and I would not even pay attention to you and would not come close to you. And the only thing that brought us closer is the purpose, the goal. And only the goal compels us to be next to each other. That's all. By keeping the rules of society, the takanon, the statutes and everything, is that enough or is there more? Rav says, no, it's not enough. What I do in the statute, in the takanon, in other words, if I do what's in the takanon, right, fine. because it elaborates what I have to do on the outside. You're demanded to do this and this and this and that. Lower your head before society. If you do that, you're in the general direction of the group, and that brings you their desires, what they need, what they want, etc. That's hitkalelut, mingling. But it's superficial, it's on the outside. You come here, you see the statute on the wall, you see the rules on the walls, and you have to do 1, 2, 3. It doesn't say that you have to love everyone. Does it say that? It's forbidden. How can you tell a person to love me? But as a result of all these acts, you come to love. All right, guys, we can't just stay with it all the time. You said that even if I'm in a group of complete beginners, I can still take their desires. But I assume it means desires for spirituality, people with a point in the heart. So when I'm with people who do not have a point in the heart... wait a minute. If we're talking about people who came to study and take interest in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and they come to know it, is it enough? It's completely enough. Well, after a few months that they see that they want to continue, it's enough to turn them into a group. I don't know, after 2-3 months, it's enough to turn them into a group, and this group can behave and be conducted according to the spiritual statute. It's not a problem for anyone in this group to annul himself before the group, according to what, yes, this statute is a statute of Kabbalists from really ancient days. If you behave with your group according to this statute, you'll acquire everything you need for advancement, because it has nothing to do with the group, only with your work. If these people in the group agree to go towards spirituality, toward proximity, toward coming closer to the Creator, it's enough. And there's no difference between the groups. There's a difference only in you, in how much you can relinquish yourself before that group. My question related to the outside groups, a group of people that... No, we're not talking about that. That was my question. With this group, I cannot advance whatsoever. Rav says, God forbid, in a society that spirituality is not its goal, why should I mingle with them? I'll take their desires. I'll adopt their purposes. What do you mean you don't have a choice? You do have a choice. You have an inner society where the purpose is godliness, spirituality. Mingle with this society and all the other groups will, societies will become meaningless. You won't have to feel that you're there. Person can be during the day in his work, in his business, in all kinds of places, mingle with all kinds of people. But if he annuls himself deliberately before the spiritual group, then the other groups he's in, he's like, excuse me, it's as if he goes into the bathroom. Rabash writes it too, in this way. He calls it a place of stench, he calls it the lavatory. That's what he writes. It's not that he disrespects them. He doesn't want to adopt their desires, their purposes in life, to those purposes of life that they have. That's how he treats them. And then they don't influence you. How can they affect you? I don't know, if they like, I don't know, soccer or something, or going fishing, I don't know. How can they influence me? Or what? Where you work? What do they talk about? Computers? Sports? Politics? What? It all depends on how much you identify with your group and how much you are impressed with the desires. And you can only be impressed with the desires in your group according to how, to the extent that you annul yourself before them. To that extent, their desires instill you according to how much you bow. So, if we're talking about a group that is interested in spirituality, so when I'm at work, I'm with people who have no interest in that. So what? If I'm with people, those people at work, what do I care about their heart? I treat them like people that, on the professional level. But if I do not annul myself, I lost it. I become conceited. I look at them from above. No, I don't look at them not from above, not from below. I don't look at them at all. I just treat them like business partners. That's it. Why do I have to appreciate them as higher or lower? I don't appreciate them at all. I have no... I think of them as people that I have to do something with. That's it. Why do I have to assess them and weigh them? In my group too, I don't have to do that. Just myself. Only evaluate myself. Make more of a zero of myself. Lessen my own weight. That's it. Why do I have to look at people on the street? This guy is not good this way, that person is not good that way. What for? Should I engage in them? What does that give me? Why should I keep looking at others? It's the pride, it's my will to receive that wants to do that in order to show me how everyone is zero compared to me. That's not our way. It is completely it is not beneficial for me, useless for me to measure myself to compared to people on the street. So what for? It's forbidden to do that. It comes from the ego, that inclination. Kabbalists tell me to do only one thing. Make yourself the greatest possible zero compared to your society. That's all. Then you will get the elation from them, the importance of the goal. And whatever desire they have for spirituality will come to you. Acquire their desires. Which desires? They all have desires for 1,000 things. But you annul before their desire for spirituality. Now, if you take the line of people sitting here and check their desires, besides spirituality, they have 1,000 other desires. I don't touch those too. Just like I don't touch the people on the street. There, it is 100% exterior desires. Here, it's 99%. But they have 1% of desire for spirituality. I annul myself before that desire for spirituality. And then become zero before that. And then I'm willing to serve them and do whatever they want me to do. I just need that 1% from all of them to work on me. Because a person is a small world. Each is incorporated of many people. So I annul myself before the Kabbalist and my friend. That's what I want to bond with, not with the other things. I don't criticize him. I only annul myself before that desire of all their other desires. That's it.
Okay.
You're using words like acquiring and purchasing desires. My question is, in return for what? I don't take their desires. I have to purchase their desires, acquire them. So I have to give them something in return. What you give in return is the importance. Let's say that you say, guys, you know what I did yesterday? And you say, who is he? What is he? Why do you even listen to him? Then, if I do that to you, then I'm not a part of your group. And if I say, if I listen attentively to you, then I relinquish my will to receive, my ego, I'm willing to take you as a great one. And then I mingle with your desire. That's it. So I pay. That's my payment. I relinquish my ego, and in annulling my ego, I acquire your appreciation of spirituality. And this is called acquiring a desire for spirituality on top of the annulment of the ego. It is a very interior special act. Just think, it's like a double gain here. I prepare my kli in annulling my ego and receive in it your appreciation. It's like I received the light in it. Yes. Is there a difference between annulment in before the group as a group or as an individual within a group? Or annulment before an individual in the group? To be annulled before the group is easier. Who knows if it's correct? And if you really do annul yourself. We have to annul ourselves before the friends. You know, I love humanity. But around me, I clean up the area. You know, it's like those pretty souls we have. It seems that the more we advance as a group, we more relate, well, not to bodies, but to souls. We relate only to one's desire for spirituality. It's as if the uniqueness of us disappears. Hav says, yes, people look more and more inside, and you feel that you have, that you're dealing with desires, with souls, with desires for spirituality. Not that it's got some out of form, a face or something. Of course, that's how it is. So where's the? How does that relate to individuals? No. By relating to individuals, you don't relate to their ears and nose. You relate to their will to receive. Let's say that I want to acquire. I want to acquire only one desire out of all these desires, the desire for spirituality. How do I pay? By annulling myself before all these other desires. He wants tea, he wants coffee, he wants this, he wants that. I'll give him anything. I just want only one thing to get from him. That's what I want to buy from him, and in return for that, I'll satisfy his every other desire. That's the payment. Right, let's finish up here. Paragraph, however. However, if it is the opposite, and he says that his friend is zero and he is one, then he is 10 times less than his friend. if he can say that he is one and he has two friends who are both zeros compared to him, then he is 100 times less than them, meaning he is 0.01. Thus, his degree lessens according to the number of zeros he has from his friends. Yet, even once he acquires that strength and can keep the love of man in actual facts, he feels his own gratification as something bad for him. Do not believe in yourself. You must be afraid of falling into self-love in the middle of the work if he is given a greater pleasure than he is used to receiving. With small pleasures he can already work in order to bestow and is willing to relinquish them, but he lives in fear of great pleasures. This is called fear, and this is the gate to receive the light of faith, called inspiration of divinity, as it is written in the Zohar, according to the fear is the measure of the faith. We therefore must remember that the matter of love thy friend as thyself should be kept because of the mitzvah that the Creator has commanded. He intended to make a rule of this mitzvah by which all the mitzvah will be kept because of the commandment of the Creator for self-gratification. It is not that the mitzvot should enhance our will to receive, meaning that by keeping the mitzvot one will be generously rewarded. Quite the contrary, by keeping the mitzvot we will reach the reward of being able to annul our self-love and reach the love of man and afterwards the love of God. Now we can understand what our sages said about the verse, place them. It comes from the word potion in Hebrew. If granted, it is a potion of life. If not granted, a potion of death. Not granted means one studies Torah and mitzvot in order to proliferate self-love, and so that the body will acquire possessions in return for its work. If granted, then one's self-love is nullified, meaning he aims to receive a reward that is the strength for love of man, by which he will reach the love of the Creator, meaning that his sole wish will be to give contentment to the Creator. Questions? None. Yes. What? In Kabbalah, we say that those who don't have a point in the heart, they're a beast. That's not a beast. A person without a point in the heart, he's a person. A person in this world. They are not connected to godliness. He did not find within himself a point that is a part of God above. So is there a way? To awaken shame in a person that he is still a beast that is not. Why do you have to tell him that? Why do you have to make him feel like that? We say that just to emphasize that they don't have a point in the heart. So how do you steer it? How do you wake it up? You can do that through the light that reforms. Meaning what? Even people who do not have a drive to study, if they start studying and they don't escape it, they don't run away from it, all kinds of means, it doesn't matter which, they can come to a state where a point in the heart begins to clarify, begins to manifest itself, because the light accelerates one's development much more quickly than their usual process. That is why, even if they do not want to study and have no drive for it, if you can give him a book or something, perhaps it will promote them, and he won't need decades of torments to find his point, but it'll come by reading a book for a month. That can be. But if it doesn't help, then we are forbidden to approach these people and instill something in them by force. How does it help to awaken a point in the heart in a politician, as you say? What will that do? What will he do the next day? Force everyone to study Kabbalah for free or what? What will he do? It's useless. The correction of the world comes not through politicians. It comes through teaching the people from within the people, through the edification of the people. It can only come by dictatorship in this world. That's not from above. But changing the interior is possible only from within, from below. Not through any kind of orders given from above. That will change nothing. That is why I have no desire to see politicians. Nessie keeps pushing me to that. Oh, not anymore. Good. Let's go see this guy. Let's go see that guy. What for? That's not a way by which we can correct the world. Only corrupt it. Even, I'm telling you, even if they want to instill Kabbalah in the education system, so what? What will they give? If there's a former minister who begins to study Kabbalah, it makes others be interested. Ah, that's a different story. That's publicity. But it's not while he's in office as a minister. And I use him as in a different way because he's a renowned personality, is a famous personality. So I can shout more loudly, yes, to a greater distance. Guys, there's something called Kabbalah. This guy's like a loudspeaker for me. That's all. But I don't use his trade, his profession, his office for that. He's just a means for publicity. Okay. What's in the second part? Talmud is Sfirot. All right. I don't know how many new people are here.